and life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money. That's what I want.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I've come home. She's AV on the board. SV Futures up 17. They're up a lot more. No, they're only up 17. AV, how are you? Back on the board.
Good.
Good?
Thank you.
You like the weather? You like the cold weather? You like all that's going on in the world, pretty much?
No, it's affecting really bad.
Why is that? Isn't it, doesn't it get cold in Ukraine?
It's not that cold in Ukraine, actually.
Oh, there you go.
It's warmer.
It's pretty bad here. Not to mention all the stuff that's going on. Do we have Lou?
I should be here, yes.
You are here. You are here, bud. How are you?
Good. Warming up.
I was concerned about you.
We saw some real cold weather here.
I was concerned about you. I was watching the game, and I saw you Coloradoans all bundled up, and I said, I'm going to find out how cold it actually is. I saw 14, and I go, those guys are wees. It's cold.
I think the coldest it got here in Denver was 6. But at my
that's special for October
mountains, it was -5 or -6, and then we had about 6 inches of snow here in the city. So it was cold and the snow stuck around. So yeah, the snow itself is not that unusual around this time of year, but a temperature reading like that this early is unusual.
That had to be. Is that a record?
They set records all around us. I don't know if they set a official record in Denver, but it was 20 below zero up at some little town north of us. And I mean, this early in the season, that's pretty brutal.
Is that a polar vortex? What is that? Just nothing?
It was a bunch of very, very cold air coming from the Yukon or someplace. But it apparently, rather than coming, dipping down and being swept kind of laterally by the jet stream, this stuff just came straight down. It came straight through Canada, down through Montana and Wyoming, and then right down to the Rockies. And the merciful thing was, because it's been so dry here, there was not a lot of moisture in the air. So when this cold air mass hit the warm air mass down around us, it only generated about 6 inches of snow. If it had been some stuff that you guys see all the time, one of those Gulf air masses moving north, if it had hit one of those, we could have had 2 feet of snow.
Was it enough snow to stop the wildfires?
It suppressed them, stopped them from spreading. They are not out. This was an interesting piece I put up on Facebook, a video of fires burning. During the snowfall, you could see this guy driving the perimeter of the fire up by Estes Park, and you could see steam, coming up, because the fire, of course, is burning in the loam and humus and other sort of pine needle thatch on the ground, and it'll burn into that even if the top of it's covered with snow. So you could see the fire working its way in. It did not put it out, but there's a lot less smoke, and I think the general perception is that they've got it, if not contained, at least controlled. The evacuation orders for that part of the state have, for the most part, been lifted. Of course, then you had the ones that broke out in California, which I guess required or are still burning and are now, you've got an evac order in place for like 100,000 people.
What did the people down in New Orleans do to get in Louisiana do to get 5 named hurricanes come right at them in 1 year?
I don't know. Somebody hasn't been going to confession enough, I guess. If I can make that horrible joke.
I'm not so sure that in this country.
So what was Zeta? What was Zeta when it hit? Was it a cat too?
I think so, but it was pretty big. It had a lot of rain and a lot of storm surge.
But what I think is interesting is to see such a huge storm or such a powerful storm this late in the season. I don't think that's ever happened before.
Water's still warm.
Yeah, but I don't think they've ever. I don't think they've ever had one this powerful this late.
Well,
so I mean, that's a. It's an anomaly. It certainly is an anomalous year. I'll tell you though, it's a marker of how messed up our news cycle is. I've hardly seen any coverage of it up here. You know, everything here is presidential politics, and I think that's generally true on the national scene as well.
I've always pushed back reasonably strongly regarding the left versus right, who controls the media, blah blah blah. And I've been a serious disciple of Cheryl Atkinson, that maybe they're just incompetent and that, and not as much, dirty.
I think you have a hard time maintaining that right now.
I was just going to say, I'm having trouble with that right now.
I was going to start simply. Dorsey, who testified in front of Congress yesterday.
By the way, what's with the look on him?
I don't know. If you're going to come up and testify in front of Congress, it helps if you don't look like Rasputin. You know? I mean, I was going, for God's sake, Jack, clean yourself up, shave, you know, stop looking like, the Ancient Mariner or Rasputin. I thought the Rasputin look was a pretty, pretty apt.
Just to show you how far the one lady in the office, now she's from the trading floor, so she is about as far as politically correct as you can get. She's a riot. So I go, what is that look? The hair, look at the hairdo. He looks like Ming the Merciless. And she goes, that's racist. I go, what do you mean racist? He was the planet Mongol.
He's an alien.
How can that be racist, for God's sake?
Ming the Merciless was just happened to be kind of Asian looking, I guess. He's the
planet Mongol.
The Buck Rogers series.
No, that was That's Flash Gordon.
Funny. That's pretty funny.
Flash Gordon,
well,
you're showing your age.
So look at what is happening with. I mean, pick your story. I mean, it's Hunter Biden now, but it's been a variety of things. For Dorsey to testify that they suppressed and shut down any mention of the Hunter Biden story, notwithstanding the fact that it had legs and a fair amount of verification, they shut that down, and yet they allowed the Ayatollah of Iran to call for the destruction of Israel. And Ted Cruz is, I mean, I look at this, and I'm just going, what do you do if you're Dorsey? Because there is no explanation other than, we hate anything that's going to hurt Joe Biden's chances, and so we're going to suppress that.
Why, Lou, is this an issue? How can I say this? See, you were on the, even though you're a street smart guy, I mean, your dad being the football player and the coach and everything, but somehow you got this little West Side in you. From the South Side, don't you get it that all they're doing is nobody likes Biden, but he's going to win. Doesn't matter if he's Attila the Hun. They're going to do whatever they want for him because he has their future in his hands. And I think
that may be the calculation, but I think it actually goes deeper than that. I think they are working to make him win, make him the winner. They align with his viewpoints.
Look at the I forget his name, the former president of Goldman Sachs, just gave $100,000 to the Joe Biden campaign. Okay, so now you can say Wall Street is for Joe Biden. Now, first of all, this is what I was trying to get to you about.
Wall Street is for whoever they think will win.
That's ding, ding, ding. And I said, now somebody's going to write that article. Now, I'm going to say the buffoon or the buffoonette who writes the article has to know that the current Secretary of the Treasury is from Goldman Sachs. And the $100,000 is to make sure that the next Secretary of the Treasury is from Goldman Sachs. and it won't be Mnuchin. It'll be somebody from the alleged Democratic side of Goldman Sachs, but they're still going to be from Goldman Sachs. I mean, it has nothing to do with left or right. It has to do with who's winning. And if you had buddies like I'm sure you do,
I think you've got the cart before the horse here. I think that Twitter and Facebook and Google and Amazon have always been pro-Democrat and have been working to suppress and damage this administration from the get-go. Not only are they working to damage the administration, they are working to damage a particular viewpoint or promoting a particular viewpoint. And to the extent the Democratic Party aligns with that, they are going to support them. The gauntlet, as far as I was concerned, the gauntlet was cast in front of these people directly when the president canceled critical race training in the federal sector for not just federal agencies but for contractors, and said you can't do that stuff. We're not going to promote a racist philosophy or allow you to promote a racist philosophy that is directly at odds with federal law and virtually every state law against discrimination. He does that, and now the battle lines get really clearly drawn here. I don't think that the funding is the result of that. I think that is the culmination of a multi-year fight that was going on.
Just remember Claude Rains.
You know, this election may be the culmination of it. But I think the fight's been going on way before.
You don't even
whoever we thought would win.
Everybody, just remember Claude Rains. I got my finger up, and what the winds are blowing from Vichy, so I'm rolling with Vichy. In the last couple of days, where I was dying to talk to you this morning, is last night I was driving home, and I'm listening to one of the, I won't say knucklehead, because he's a good guy, on News Radio 78. And he was talking about, we're concerned about the, what the hell is the word he used? I'm going brain dead. It wasn't the, it had to do with essentially people getting the virus again, the reinfection rate.
Which is highly anomalous.
Which there is none. We know of one person who's went through 10 days and had to go through it again yet? There will be someday, but not today. Not one. Yet now that's in there. And yesterday Microsoft, the world's biggest monopoly, they've been trying to push me to Windows 10, but I've got this old computer that I've got, you know, how many years of emails on, and I'm reluctant to move them over, so I keep the thing going, even though, of course, I have all my quotes and everything on all new computers. And so one day they come in, Lou, and they erase all my favorites. Microsoft. Now, I tell you what, that company is the most monopolistic, most brutal company. They're worse than Google and the rest of these people, but they stay under.
I'm one of those guys. I do run Windows 10, and so I had an update involuntarily placed on my system when I restarted my computer that rejiggered all, you know, connections and contacts and bookmarks and everything.
Yeah, but if your favorites, if you couldn't find them, they were still there, because it happened to my brother too. But on the bottom, there was a link that said old favorites or something, you could get to them. But if you have Windows 7, they're just gone. Anyway,
yes.
In there I had the two original studies for distancing and viruses. And now, of course, I can't find. One of them was a 1919 study from Harvard about TB, and they did all kinds of work on this. It had to do not just with, you know, a millionth of a drop landing on your shirt like the crap we're seeing now. We're talking about viral loads and what would it take for you really to get TB from somebody? And essentially it was 3 feet away for some period of time to get the viral load to give you TB. It's not like one molecule. So it's 1919. Now, whether it's perfect or not, whatever, but a second test done in the Bush administration regarding distancing on airplanes said you needed to double that on an airplane to 6 feet because the ventilation system is not as good, blah, blah, blah. Now, all of a sudden, these bumps from American Airlines are telling you that miraculously now the ventilation system on an airplane is now better than outside, and they can be in every seat. So I tried to Google the original two studies, since I don't have them anymore, and the first two pages of the Google had to do with studies and opinions that American Airlines is correct in this. Now, if American Airlines is correct, why are we closing saloons? Why can't we go to a baseball game? I mean, when we're outside. I mean, you can't tell me that the ventilation in an airplane is better than outside.
There is no science. There is no science behind this stuff.
No. None whatsoever.
This is, so here in Denver, and again, what we're not having, we are not suffering, at least according to the graphs and the numbers I'm seeing, we are not suffering a pandemic right now. We are suffering a case-demic.
Right.
In other words, we are reporting positives people who have either have the antibodies or might have the antibodies, but who aren't having symptoms. So,
right.
So this is unprecedented. We never report people who are exposed, who generate antibodies, but who don't get symptomatic.
Lou,
we are doing that now.
Well,
and it's being used to create a craze. Again, you're seeing the weaponization of it
administration. Who's behind it? I mean, and how can they float? I mean, why doesn't somebody ask this buffoon of a governor? I mean, 83,000 people take tests the other day, and 6,000 were positive. So our positivity. So if, for instance, we drop down to 2,000 positives, but 60,000 people found something else to do, and only 20,000 showed up for a test, of now 18,000 of which would not be sick or have symptoms, that would mean things were worse or better. In their mind, it makes it worse. No, it doesn't. I mean, this is simple math, Lou. You can't control the new. I mean, if it were me or you, I would hope every day I would have or every week probably, you could probably do it, I'd want a 300 to 400 person, 500 person random sample where we showed up at somebody's door, paid them $200, and we took a blood test. Do you have antibodies? Do you have the disease? Where have you been? Blah, blah, blah. And if somebody wants to tell us that, I want to know where it's going and where it's been. And I don't, the idea that I'm going to, somehow 70,000 people are going to show up in their car for a test, 65,000 of which have no symptoms. I can't control that. What does that do for me scientifically? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Does it?
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, and so here you have restaurants operating and they say, well, you could drop to 25 now because we've got an increase in case numbers. Not necessarily an increase. I mean, the increase in case numbers means we're going to have an increase in hospitalizations, and we will see a tick up in deaths. But in terms of the percentages, they're actually flattened out or going down in terms of the number of people who have it versus the number of people who are getting sick or getting hospitalized, all that. But that's not what drives the train. What drives the train is the case numbers, because that's what the politicians and the media have now focused on. And I honestly think that everybody in the press who are supporting Joe Biden realizes that if they can inflate these numbers and make these case numbers look bad, it's going to affect the president. So they push these numbers up with the idea that, oh my God, look at all these cases, and we have to react to the cases, rather than somebody getting on with an intelligent presentation saying, here's what these case numbers mean. But there's nobody out there willing to do that. There's nobody in authority who's going to do it. They just react to the press reports that the case numbers, whatever that means, are going up.
Who's the dictator wannabe that's behind Biden? It's not Biden. It's somebody back there. This is going to be the first coup from the left I think I've ever seen outside of South America.
Well, I think it's a combination of it might be the Obamas, but I think this smacks more of the Clintons in terms of putting a guy like this up. But
I think Valerie Jarrett's all over it.
Pardon me?
I think Valerie Jarrett's all over it somehow.
Okay, well that would be Obama. But I mean I think you go back to the coup attempt that was put in place against Trump through the FBI. And that was Obama and Biden.
This stuff is so far afield, Lou. I can't even go there.
Look at the things that are playing out now in places like Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. and L.A., the continuation of what happened in Minneapolis, you have the impact, direct impact of Democrat, specifically progressive George Soros-backed money going to elect prosecutors who will not prosecute and mayors who tell the police, don't arrest anybody. We are surprised, we have to feign surprise at riots that break out, where the same people keep coming back night after night after night, because even when they're arrested, they're immediately released.
Well, look,
where is the story on this?
If you came down off the mountaintop, you wouldn't even have to go that far. All you'd have to do is get in my old Suburban and just drive home with me one night. If you don't see four or five blatant, like pull around the guy who's already stopped and go through the red light or anything like that within two or three blocks, you're not looking. There isn't a chance in hell other than getting in the way of the donut run to get pulled over by a policeman in this town. There isn't any chance.
It's very much a Ferguson effect.
Well,
I think.
But I mean, you also have this guy in Philadelphia. I didn't see much of the thing in Philadelphia, but as you know, my dad was a policeman, my uncle was a policeman, my dad was dead, so he couldn't tell me all that much. My uncle would say, my mom would tell me what my dad's training was, and she'd see something on TV. She goes, "What are they doing? You pull your gun out to shoot it. You don't pull it out to wave it around and point it at people."
And see, this concept has been explicitly endorsed by one of the presidential candidates, and that's Biden, who said, "I don't understand why the police have to shoot people to kill them. They could just shoot them in the legs." And it reflects such a stupid and uninformed position on use of force that he should have been called on.
But the idea
wasn't.
But you still have, in this thing in Philadelphia, a little bit I saw of it, and again, don't ask me on a detail, but it still is, from the little bit I heard of it, some guy without enough backup, with his gun out, all of a sudden something happens, he shoots. It's the same.
There were several cops there.
Okay, but I'm saying it's the same motif every time. Well,
it's not a question of backup when the guy with the knife runs at you.
I understand what I'm saying. If I were to stop somebody, if I had the stones, which none of these other guys do now, to pull somebody over on the expressway with the tinted windows, and I know there's probably a gun in that car or more, and I know the gentlemen in there probably are not ready for prime time. So do I walk up with my gun, pointing at the guy, where all he has to do is flinch and go for his water bottle, and I shoot him like an idiot? Or do I sit there and say, guys, I got these people on the side of the road, I could sure use a couple of more squads here to help me out? I think I do part B, and guess what? Maybe I don't have my gun out when I walk out there. I say, would you guys please get out of there? There's a way around this, Lou, but too many times we've got this, we're pointing it, we're doing this, and all of a sudden any kind of move, and you got your finger on a trigger, which you're not supposed to. I mean,
but you may not, I mean, there aren't very many situations like that. The situations that you're seeing are, well, in Philadelphia, for example, is a guy with a knife, doesn't drop the knife, doesn't respond, and then moves aggressively toward an officer. He's within 10 feet of him. That's too close. You're going to get shot. I have no problems with a cop using his weapon.
They
didn't have tasers. They didn't have tasers because they cut the police budget.
Yeah,
so
there's no budget
money to provide them with non-lethal aid like that.
In the case of the
guy in Wisconsin, you know, he's got a knife. Drop the knife. He ignores that. Goes into the car. Gets shot. I'm sorry. Jason Whitlock had a great piece on this. The sports writer for Outkick the Coverage had a great piece on this yesterday, where he said, "I don't understand why we keep having guys simply ignore the police. They don't comply with police instructions. They ignore the cops' request, and then they are surprised when deadly force ultimately gets used against them."
Totally agree.
So my African-American friend, I won't use his name, he's my not only is his locker in the same aisle at the club as me, I've known him forever. He goes, one thing that ought to be universal in this world, black and white, is when policemen tell you to do something, you do it. He goes, I don't get when you don't and expect good things to happen. He goes,
I was having this conversation with a friend here, and he was saying, you know, you look at the rates of police violence against black perpetrators or white perpetrators. And I said, that's not the right measure. The measure is, what is the police violence against black perpetrators who resist and white perpetrators who resist? My guess is it's probably about the same. But that is invariably the biggest difference in these police interactions. You have one group of people who are saying, we're not going to comply, we're going to resist, we're going to challenge. And another group who are, for the most part, not doing that.
Lady, my officer.
And in situations when you have white perps or non-black perps not complying, they get shot too. This is how it escalates. It escalates fast.
Well, her cousin or brother or somebody's on the force, and they're doing this arrest, and it's this black guy. Of course, he's on some. We got to go to break here in a sec, but he's a guy's on something. He's bigger than the cop. They go to arrest him. His partner decides he's not helping him. So the guy goes to put the cuffs on himself. Doesn't want to shoot him. Doesn't want to taser him. But it was a real struggle to get the handcuffs on the guy because his partner wouldn't help. I mean, there's weird crap going on, Lou. It's just the train.
Well, I mean, but again, my response to that is the guy who is under arrest. If he doesn't comply, if he resists arrest, the police are authorized.
You can't walk down the block here now, and this is the easiest way. You can't walk down the block here now without getting a belch of marijuana smoke. And if you go through a lot of those neighborhoods, which I do once in a while, half the group walking around is on something. I mean, I'm an older dude now. Some guy bigger than me who's younger and is on something, he's a struggle boy. I mean, I don't care what kind of training I've got. I mean, he's a problem.
I agree.
Anyway, S&P Futures up 12, Nasdaq Futures up 78. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. She's AV on the board. Mr. Lou Michaels with us as well. SP futures are now up 14. NASDAQ futures up 84. We're trying to bounce back from yesterday's, I use the term carnage because it was, pretty bad all over the place. Dow futures up 56. Over in Europe, we've got, actually not even a bounce here, and these guys got destroyed yesterday over 3%. DAX down 7 points. It's, call it flat. FTSE up 3, call it flat. CAC around down 18.4. So they're kind of resting after getting the shot in the gut yesterday. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 86.3%, Shanghai up 3.1%, Hang Seng down 122.5%. Just as a review, if you haven't seen this, be sitting. Dow down 943, that's 3.4%. S&P down 119, 3.5%. NASDAQ down 426, 3.7%. So brutal across the board. Bonds 0.78, really not changed much yesterday. The bond minus 0.63. In Japan, same spot, positive 0.03. So now the bond market is silent as the other ones. Now, get a load of this, the oil on $1.45, $35.94 was $42. Where are we? Thursday, I'm going to say a week ago, Monday. It was probably $42. Brent down $147, $37.65. Natural gas down 3 cents to $3.25. RBOB down a penny to $106. And gold down $1.60, $18.70. Everything's selling out here. Lou, your Air Force Academy hat was value yesterday, for God's sake. Silver down 8 cents, 23.27. Copper unchanged at 3.05. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. And are you going to talk about the blue moon on Saturday?
Hello, people. It's 47 degrees in Chicago. Cloudy with gusty winds, which are in action today, might cause minor lakeshore flooding along the Lake Michigan. The highest of the day is 49 and the lowest 33. 84 in Phoenix, good deal of sunshine throughout the day, clear skies. 87 during the day and 58 at night is the lowest point. Chicago traffic is pretty much clear, no accidents for now, but be ready for upcoming delays on Eisenhower, Adams and Kennedy due to long-term construction. What about blue moon?
There's a blue moon on Halloween.
Is it like a moon phase?
Blue moon. You don't know what a blue moon is?
Beer?
Oh, God. what do you think of that, Lou? Beer? we can see how she spends her evenings with her buddies over in some bar, some guy buying her blue moons, it sounds to me.
No, just I don't go for blue moon usually.
You're not a blue moon girl?
No.
Well, there weren't much in the way of sports last night, except what are we going to do about the guy who ran down the field without the mask, Lou? The Dodger guy.
Oh, he'll be... he's lucky. I mean, this is going to get play for a little while, maybe 10 minutes, and then they'll fine him $5,000 or whatever, and then it'll disappear. I'd like to talk about what's happening with the Big Ten in terms of their just manifest inability to handle this thing.
Well, but before you do that, let me ask you this. I want to be very brief. There are two definitions of the blue moon. Which one do you subscribe to?
Well, I don't know what the definitions are. A blue moon to me is a fairly regular occurrence in... in the moon cycles, but my original understanding of a blue moon was that it was something like a negative after image from looking at a bright moon and then looking away.
No, it's a second full moon in the same month by most people's standards.
Sorry, say again. I lost you.
It's the second full moon in a calendar month by most people's standards. has nothing to do with being blue. However,
no,
there is an alternative definition that was there for a long time, and some people still stick to it. That is, you in some societies, there were three full moons in a quarter, correct? So the first full moon in a quarter was the first one, then there was a second one, then there was the last one. So if the blue moon, if you ended up with four, the third one didn't have a name. So the third one in the four of the quarter was called the blue moon. So not the second one in the same month. So there have been two definitions throughout history. How's that for a piece of worthless information?
I think all of this is, well, I actually looked up definitions of wolf moon and spring moon and blood moon and all this.
Those are just Indian names.
They are totally made up.
Those are Indian names, which are in Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah.
There's the harvest moon.
Totally made up.
Well, yeah, there's the harvest moon is September, and then there's the blood moon is whatever, and what's the December one? It's like the ice moon because it's cold. I mean, right?
Yeah, the see your breath moon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it doesn't surprise me that this year we're having a full moon and a blue moon on Halloween. Could there be a more messed up year?
No, and that's why you see, for example, when the Egyptians announced that they've discovered, you know, three unopened sarcophagi in the Nile Valley, and they're going to crack them open. Everybody goes, no, don't do it. Not this year.
Not this year.
Wait for a couple of months.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what we have...
I wanted to just touch briefly on this, the Big Ten's idiocy in the way they're managing COVID, and the fact that a 21-day shutdown from a positive is... I mean, it's unworkable, and I don't understand who came up with this, and I don't understand why they decided to do it this late in the year.
You mean the football or the shutdown?
The football. They're now saying 3 weeks from a positive before you can resume play.
That's insane.
Yes, I agree.
But you know what?
The guys they're dealing with.
I believe that that's their policy all through the deal. Jeff Joseph, I don't know if you listened on Tuesday, but
it's not in the SEC.
Jeff's daughter went down to Illinois. He said this, so I'm not speaking out of school. And he brought her down there. She's a freshman. Family brought her down. Stayed in a motel the night before. The whole group. They had dinner. Had breakfast. All that stuff. She barely gets home. And they call and say, by the way, she tested positive, come get her. So he has to drive down there, and he drives back with her in the car. They wouldn't let her back for 3 weeks. Now, everybody else says 10 to 14 days. The Big Ten is, they wouldn't let her back for 3 weeks. So she tested.
No symptoms, obviously.
No, she had no symptoms, but she did test positive a couple more times at home. Meanwhile, Jeff, his wife, and his other son, I believe, nobody got it.
So again, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. The tests are not tests for symptoms, and they're not even necessarily tests for whether you have the disease. The antibody tests or these tests that they're using are very sensitive, and they are picking up, again, asymptomatic cases.
I think that's changed, Lou. I've had to take a couple of these. The ones that you... Because Carl's all over this. If you, I won't say some bar because I'll give a kudo to Pritzker, who has no idea whether the stuff is happening in bars and restaurants. But if you walk through a room with people with COVID and they give you the nose test, I mean, not to be gross, but that's essentially what nose hairs are for. They could pick up a couple of COVID molecules if they give you the nose test, but you may never get it. You may sneeze or blow your nose and it's gone.
In fact, the odds are you won't get. The odds are you won't become symptomatic.
Right. If you're not next to somebody for a long period of time. But anyway, but the one they're using now that's a quick return is the throat swab, and I think that has to do with whether you have it in your bloodstream or in your bodily fluids. Which I believe that one's. If you test positive with that one, I'm saying it's in your system. Now, whether or not you can give it to somebody else, I didn't get a chance to tell you that. Maybe I did. somebody dropped, you know, people were dropping all these studies on me, but there were two studies that somewhat came up. You know, the only studies I read that seem like they're any good, that aren't tainted, are from overseas. And this is the weirdest thing. First of all, when people say they're going to stop COVID, it's so damn arrogant. COVID, if anything, is probably five times more contagious than the common cold.
So they're not. This is why this idiot reaction to whoever it was, Meadows or the president's chief of staff, who said we're not controlling the virus.
Right.
Of course we're not.
Well, the interesting part. Well, okay, where I'm going with this is, I never. I mean, the stuff I read about this virus, I have such respect for it. Everybody thinks that I'm poo-pooing it. It's exactly the wrong message I'm trying to give here, but as you find out knowing what I do, Lou, and you too, because you're on here in Eldora, it's not what you say, it's what people hear, correct?
Agreed.
But they claim it's 65%, and this is in Korea and New Zealand, where they have, I guess, terrific tracking. 65% of the people that have had it have not given it to any other person. But they must be like Jeff's daughter. You have it, it's asymptomatic, and by the way, your body has it somewhat controlled, and you know, not even enough to where you're giving it to the next person. Now, whether or not, if she had a boyfriend, if she gave it to, who knows, but I'm saying you couldn't unequivocally say that you'd want to ride with her in a car to Seattle without masks. But then again, I'm saying this study said 65% of the people never gave it to anybody. Yet virtually everybody who's got it has got it from less than 20% of the people that are these sort of super spreaders. I'm not a germ guy, but I don't think I ever heard anything like that some disease was this different.
Well, typhoid spreads like that.
Just from one person and not the next person?
Yeah, you've got super spreaders that are highly contagious.
Like, was Mary one of them?
This is not an unknown phenomenon. It's interesting to think about. I'm not sure it's been proved conclusively, but it's certainly interesting to think about. But yeah, you have individuals who apparently are highly contagious and can spread it, but the vast majority of people will not do that. Mercifully, the vast majority of spreaders, the people who are spreading it, are not having a huge impact on the people that they contact. People get it. They don't get sick. Most people don't get sick. Or they get it, and the symptoms are relatively mild.
Well, yesterday I get this missive from my alder woman. Oh, God, I wish she would have lost. It has to do with, in our district, the governor's doing the right thing, and all she has is visions of young people that don't care about other people going to a bar, getting it, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, infecting somebody else and not caring, and I'm like, this is the cold, for God's sake. And then she says, by her calculations, 1 in 45 in her ward have got it. That means there's 45 other people that are at, 44 other people that are at risk. Lou, the study just came out 2 weeks ago that 20% of the people in the city, or 19.5% of the people in the city, have antibodies. It's like 1 in 5 have had it in the city. Why is she telling people there's 1 in 4? So I couldn't resist. I had to write back. Why don't you, instead of just pontificating on what your message is, why don't you actually read some of the stuff and at least give people the right numbers, for God's sake? I mean, at some point here, what are we going to do with the 40 million people that have already had it? Are we going to continue to make them second-class citizens, even though they...
There is no logical response here. This is because it's gotten politicized. And the political, and it always would be, but because it's gotten politicized, our political leadership has now backed itself into a corner. They've moved the goalpost. They started out with a perfectly logical goalpost of, we need to keep hospitalizations and down and our ICUs open, and so we're going to contain it. We're going to minimize spread, take steps to minimize spread so that we don't overwhelm our healthcare facilities. Perfectly logical. After that, it's all gone to hell. Now we're counting cases, but we're not really counting cases because that's not what we're looking at. We're counting people who've been exposed. But you know, they're not cases because they're not symptomatic. So what are we actually doing? the goal of this thing now is not to control it. The goal is to generate numbers that justify the political control that's been put into effect and at the same time damage the administration. And none of these people are back. You know, Whitmer in Michigan, or Cuomo in New York, or Newsom in California, all of whom have made terrible decisions that resulted in the deaths of thousands of people. They're not backing off.
No,
they're not coming
back
and saying we made a mistake.
They're doubling down. They're doubling down. Did you see the Thanksgiving guides in California?
Oh my God! Yeah. So I assume that means that if you have a family gathering and you're not running in with Lysol and sterilizing the bathroom every time somebody uses it, that people are supposed to go to the bathroom outside.
Well, you got to sterilize the bush.
I mean, these are unworkable, and I think we said early on one of our sessions that one of the things that was going to come out of this response, this pandemic response, is a measure and an indication of just how dumb and venal and banal our leadership is.
But
boy, that's been that way in spades.
Okay, but the insulting part, actually I can't be insulting because they're probably right. The insulting part is when you listen to one of these people and they're drivel, their opinion of how stupid we must be has to be, I can't even, but I don't get what makes, I just happen to be in charge. What makes a Lori Lightfoot, Tony Preckwinkle, and Jay Pritzker, who are, I don't know. Lori, I think, went to Harvard. She's a bright lady, but I don't know that any of these people, if I got that job somehow, all of a sudden I wouldn't think I was all that much smarter than everybody else and better than everybody else. Where do these guys become Solomon, for God's sake? I mean, where does that happen?
Not. And again, this is, we go back to the discussions we've had on ideologues, and people who are ideologues look at reality, and whatever reality is, they don't, if it conforms with their ideology, we're in great shape, but in most cases it doesn't. So what they see is their ideological worldview rather than reality. And it's there's a patina of pragmatism over this, in this, to the extent that the view of reality that they have is also a view that says, I need to get myself reelected. So you're not going to have Lori Lightfoot coming in and saying, you know what, this whole mask thing doesn't really work in the aggregate. We should be masking up maybe around centers for old people or older citizens, or for around the vulnerable. But for the rest of you, it doesn't matter, because our numbers show that. We don't see any appreciable change when we introduce masks. We don't see any appreciable change when we introduce lockdowns.
I would so take one for the team there, Lou, a little bit. When I pound the Myers on a Sunday morning, I know on the south side there's a lot of people living at home without any help that might be doing chemotherapy or something. And if there's one in a bazillion chance that I could be a problem to them, I don't mind putting it on for a half hour. But that's because it's me, not because I actually think it's worth it.
Well, again, look at the masks that we tolerate. We don't tolerate.
Yeah.
We're not requiring masks. You know, people walking around with bandanas, for God's sake.
Well, in case they ever want to rob the cashier, they're good to go.
This is not an intelligent response. This is very much comparable to what we've talked about, the TSA response, which is we got to show the population we're doing something, even though it's stupid,
the population's lapping
it up.
Work. Population's lapping. All right, Lou, I know you're not my market guy, but we only got 5 minutes. When does this? I mean, I have a client who calls me and he wants to be all over anything that's involved in the pandemic. Bullets, guns. We had a guy this morning. Now they're hitting up these restaurants. If you want like 4 to 6 tables, a little enclosure, like a canvas enclosure, they want like $15,000. God, Lou, that's a lot of omelets if it's a breakfast place. I mean, the price of this stuff is to the moon. I would love to be in the electric heater business or something, but how do you get in that now? I mean, this is we're reaching this stage here. But when do the people that don't have any money, and the 7% people that are 60 days over on their mortgages, when does it reach the point where a day like yesterday is not an unusual event, that we say, look, everybody's in trouble. This cannot be at that level, especially like a Wells Fargo, which has all these mortgages. Because you never tell who exactly has got the equity on these mortgages.
I think the panic over this will end within a month of the election.
How are they going to do that? How are they going to say never mind?
I think you will stop. You will stop seeing the incessant drumbeat of new cases, case levels being reported, just like they did with deaths. We stopped reporting the spike in deaths when it stopped being a spike because it was no longer browbeat people with.
As long as you decide that new cases in Fargo, North Dakota, that the disease just entered, and since it is like the common cold, it's going to have a problem in Fargo. When you take that number and apply it to Chicago, you look at the map. The map is just bigger. I mean, you can't tell me that they're in London in April there were 22,000 deaths. Now there's 2,000. That the problem's the same. It isn't the same.
It isn't. But the level of hysteria actually is going up.
Yes, it's going up.
As I said, I think a lot of this because I think this is a politicized issue. I think, and again, being used to try to beat the president, I think you're going to see this all kind of disappear. After the election.
I don't know if that's. It's like the collective 50s moms got together and are mandating people wear sweaters all the time so they won't get a cold. I mean, what made Fauci think that if he could get people, you know, home in their bedroom in their house, we didn't care if they got it or not in New York. That somehow he was going to save Rapid City, South Dakota. I don't know. This thing's a common cold.
More importantly, why do people think that Dr. Fauci, who is basically talking about how to manage a disease, would make any consideration of the additional effects or the consequential effects of the lockdown, and would not that he would consider, for example, the increase in suicides, the increase in deaths from delayed medical treatment, the increase in deaths from drug use. Why didn't he consider that?
Because that's not what he's doing.
It's not his job. It is the job of a public health policy person.
We got 30 seconds. I got a quick question. Lady in the office got a notice to come to a remote jury. What in God's name is a remote jury, Lou?
I don't know. How are you guys doing it there?
I don't know. I mean, it's the first I heard of that. I don't think there's been a jury trial since March. So,
I assume that means they're going to try to put a jury in a place, maybe give them all tests, and then sit them down and say, okay, you're going to watch this case on TV. I don't know.
How could you possibly cross-examine somebody and not look at the body language?
I think it's crazy, but we seem to be able to convince ourselves that this kind of non-human contact is an effective way to run business.
As the priest said in Minnesota, this is not normal, gang. Don't let somebody tell you it is. Lou, thank you very much, buddy. Talk at you next week. 14 degrees. By the way, do you have all your bullets and guns? Are you good to go?
Good to go.
Guy was telling me yesterday that some places now only sell you bullets that you can use on the range. You can't even take them home.
I think that there's a lot of that here. I target shoot occasionally, and they're being very careful about ammunition. You can't buy ammunition for certain calibers.
Wow. All right, well, S&P futures have just ducked under. So much for the save here. We're down 6. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here. What it is.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. She's AV on the board. SP Futures down 2, or just down 6. We're kind of all over the place here, but we were up like 16 or 20, and all of a sudden now we're down there. NASDAQ is up 34, so much for the dead cat bounce here. Dan, are you with us? Do we have Dan?
Yes.
How are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. You have to walk us through yesterday. Calm us down. And I have a bunch of people listening this morning just because you are here, because I said, I know a guy who actually can still get some fixed income in this mess of no fixed income. And you're the man. You're the man. You're
absolutely. Man. Absolutely. And, yeah, it was a mess yesterday. In fact, the last few days. But not totally surprising. I mean, we've been anticipating this sort of correction, and I think as the news has built up, across the board, right, you know, the election, certainly the obvious, the COVID cases increasing worldwide, and certainly the media pushing all this information, you know, leading to a little bit of fear, and also it was not helpful to have the big tech names going through their court hearings yesterday, as people, I think it just gave people investors an indication that maybe some of these names have been overvalued, which is the camp we're in. Not surprising to see the correction. We knew it was coming at some point. I actually was joking with some people that were heading out of town. My friend and his wife were taking a trip sort of to a quiet island, and I said that's probably the perfect thing to be doing this week.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, as you know, in this business, that my mentor told me sometimes it's just best to play golf, and this may be one of those weeks where we may end up coming out not a whole lot changed, but we may miss a lot of the volatility and a lot of the information that's coming out that could drive us to make decisions that we really shouldn't on behalf of ourselves and our clients.
You could be my straightest man, Dan. So I have to ask you, did Jack do a full dube or just one too many edibles before he went in front of Congress?
Probably, maybe a little both, actually.
what was that all about?
Those edibles can be strong, right?
I was looking at it going, what is he doing? I was listening, yeah. And then I finally looked up and saw it. I go, okay. No, the lady here in the office goes, God, is he high? I don't know.
I would not be surprised. Well, in the midst of all this craziness this week, as last Thursday, as you recall, I made a recommendation for Thunderbird. And again, the names that we tend to look at are the names that are going to sort of blow through a lot of what's going on, the noise that's going on. They're going to be the companies that will tend to be, in this case of Thunderbird, it's a smaller company that's not likely to trade in lockstep with the markets. But in this case, yesterday it was actually up 1% when the averages were down 3.5%. And that's really what we like. We like a good story. We like a story that in this case may be described as a penny stock, but soon to be moved into the small cap range as they get listed on NASDAQ.
They've already made application, I assume?
Thunderbird, TBRD, which is listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange right now, the TSE. And there's also a way to play it on the over-the-counter market. It's a pink sheet stock, THBRF. But both of these names, or it's the same name, actually, Thunderbird, saw an uptick of 1% yesterday during a pretty significant sell-off. They had strong earnings, as have had a number of companies recently, but this is a company that's not on everybody's radar screen, does not have a lot of correlation with the tech names that have been trading on a pretty steep roller coaster here recently. And this is a company like other companies that we invest in, like Self, the self storage unit, that'll tend to just be a steady eddy during these times of turbulence. So having a portfolio now that is largely positioned in these types of names that aren't going to have a lot of exposure to the market, this is actually not a bad time to go and play golf or go boating or go to a movie, just to kind of get your mind out of a lot of the noise that's going on, because the noise does seem like it's been dialed up quite a bit over the past week.
Dan, what is the...
I don't expect that to change.
For these guys that are making, I'm assuming since they're listening to you, that they're doing well enough to sort of be in the NASDAQ, I assume they've made application.
Yes.
Is anybody working at the NASDAQ, or are they giving us the BS that they're all working from home? I mean, is there a chance they're going to get approved
soon? I think the process is taking longer than it normally would, yes. And because it's a Canadian company as well, I'm sure there's a few extra hoops to jump through, but they do have there's already a U.S. presence on the OTC market, and this is, the details are not as public as we would hope, but they are definitely in the process, and this is coming soon. I think this is a good name for this environment, and I do think this volatility and this noise, like I said, is getting fairly extreme, and at some point we're going to see this, correct back to some normalcy. But as I'm sure some of your other guests have said as well, it may not happen as quickly as Tuesday. It may be a little bit longer before we see some of the fallout from the results, not only the results of the election, but also, likely policies and timing of policies and what it means in the Senate and, sort of across the board. So I think there's going to be a lot of noise around these issues. Stay tight with the names that you like. Don't look at this as an opportunity to sell unless you think that the valuations have really gone through the roof, in which case you might want to lighten up a little bit further in some of your tech names. But in terms of the names that we own, this is a good time to be just sitting steady. So that some of these names like Chicken Soup for the Soul Preferred, Blue Knight Preferred, Self, the self-storage, even MassTech, although it sold off a little, we think it has, you know, it's just been a steady eddy in this environment. So these are names to just sit on and just kind of barrel through the this week of high. I don't even want to use the word uncertainty. I just want to use the word noise.
Yeah, do you guys ever do anything in
your ears as you're going through?
One of my clients,
and you have to do that sometimes. You have to go and play golf sometimes. Sometimes in this business, you can't be trying to make money. Even if you are a day trader, you can't expect to be making money in every trade. And this is one of those weeks, I think, that's going to be tough to play that day-to-day volatility.
One of my clients asked me to ask you, do you ever do anything in this at AllianceBernstein? That these guys, they claim they still pay this big dividend. I'm not so sure how they're doing it. Do you ever do anything with those guys, AB?
Yeah, I know. I'm sure. I've known them for years. I'm not so sure how they do it either. There's really very few ways of doing it, as we've spoken earlier. I mean, we, you know, in terms of just strict fixed income, if you're looking at names, I was going to mention our Southwestern name is still hanging in there, and we're getting close to 5%. But in terms of looking at dividends on stocks, there are some that are still paying. I would be less likely to own a stock where the dividend is, you know, has the possibility of being cut, because as you know, that's one of the worst times to own a stock. It's you get the double whammy. You get people coming out because of the, you know, losing the interest income portion of their investment, but you also have people coming out because they're concerned about the financial condition of the firm having to go as far as cutting the dividend, which is never a good thing. So any name that looks like, you know, in a sector like the financials, that looks like it could possibly be lightening up or cutting dividend, I would be avoiding at this point.
Dan, I gave a lecture in there. Lecture
the
Arizona
yield. I still think the names that I had mentioned before that are preferred stocks are not cutting. They're locked in at these rates. They're mandatory preferreds. I think the one name I just mentioned, Southwest Energy, they're reporting earnings tomorrow, expected to be better than estimates. You know, it's gas, but it's a 1-year bond yielding close to 5%, and we've still been able to pick some up at 5%, and that's a good solid name. There are fewer and fewer of these names in the fixed income space. And you have to start dipping down into credit quality to a point where the additional risk does not make sense, for the expected return. So we are at that point where the chase for yield just continues. Real yields, falling into negative territory, just not as good an investment as it had been even 6 months to a year ago. So now we believe the good names are the names that I would refer to as the steady eddies, the ones that are some of the smaller names that have a lot of upside potential, that are, and not just smaller names, but companies in general that tend to weather these periods of volatility.
What it is, I mean, it's a tough conversation to have when you say, hey, you know, hey, the 10-year yield is 0.7. What are you looking? I mean, if you're looking for 4 or 5, unless you have a guy like Dan who's finding a pearl somewhere and he's finding it harder and harder to do, I don't know where you think you're going to get 5 that's safe. You know, unless you, like you say, get the last year or something, or some places, one of the oil companies that are getting this bad name, but some of them obviously, energy companies, sorry, some of them are into the gas, some are into other things. What about the propane industry? Is the entire world now is having heaters outside in Chicago? Is there a pop-up in that? Who does propane? Does anybody specialize in that?
Yeah, I haven't owned. There are some propane companies out there. I know Suburban Propane was a big name. At one point, they were in the high-yield space. It's not a name that I'm active in. But any gas company, a couple of the companies we own, for example, even Southwestern is going to have, you know, their they're more of an E&P company, but they're going to distribute to the propane companies. You know, so they're in the distribution network for those companies. I don't know that those companies necessarily are going to be have any bonds that are issued that are paying 5% right now. There are some, you know, lower quality high yield bonds, lower quality junk bonds, basically, that are mostly in the energy sector that are still yielding. You're still getting you know, you can get double digit yields. You really have to do your homework on those names. The same would be true with retail, travel. These are industries that really don't have a lot of promising prospects. But if you look carefully, even in the airline industry, some of the bonds are backed by collateral, so they'll be backed by the planes themselves. And those are the ones that would be paid off first. So in the case of a restructuring, you want to own the senior secured debt that's backed by planes. And you want to make sure that they're not the old planes, the old S planes, I should say. So there are ways still of finding value and opportunity, but trying to look for, I mean, if you use 5% as a benchmark, that's going to be really tough to achieve without going into below investment grade, definitely without going into below investment grade or without going long on the yield curve, which right now is not where you want to be, where rates are, even though we have a steep yield curve, you get whipsawed if you go out long in an environment where rates are as low as they are. So any uptick in long-term rates, which we will have eventually, is not going to be, you're not going to want to be in fixed income. And then there are, you know, like one of the names I mentioned, Blue Knight, is a MLP, Master Limited Partnership, that's in a similar industry. They actually do storage for crude and for predominantly for asphalt. And as we're starting to see infrastructure pick up, they are, those companies are, you know, the demand there has been very strong, and they're likely to continue to perform really, really well. So a lot of these construction projects that have been put on hold, although some of the municipalities have had downturns, they're starting to let some of these projects play themselves out, complete some of these projects, get the funding, or at least get the permission to move forward with these projects now. So we are seeing more development that would come in, you know, in this particular stock, this MLP, it's a master limited partnership that's paying 6.5%. The bonds actually have, I mean, actually it's, I think the net to the shareholder is 9.5%. So it's a pretty attractive, you know, play for a couple of years. Buy and hold. They already have the asphalt. They're getting paid for it to be sitting in those facilities. It's like a rent check, if you will. Pretty predictable cash flow business. Good new management team.
These are the guys
in
Florida.
Well diversified. So
these are the guys in Florida. You like them? They're MLT, right?
Yes, it's an MLP. It's a preferred stock, Blue Knight. So the ticker is BKEPP. Blue Knight Energy Products Preferred. And that's their specialty. So they've developed this niche market, kind of focusing on infrastructure, regardless of who gets in our next administration. Infrastructure is still going to be an issue, and it already, as I'm saying, there's a lot of funding has been lifted for projects. There's been a lot of permissions given to projects that have been sitting on hold for a while, and so we're seeing that name holding up pretty well and actually moving up well. Again, doesn't have a story like a tech name, but it's a steady story that will tend to perform well regardless of this crazy environment we're in now.
Is the
and it likely to be in the next few months.
Is the state of Florida paying their bills? I'm not so sure I'd want to do business in Illinois.
I've seen a lot of construction here, so hopefully they are. We're not really seeing things quite as bad here as other parts of the country. I mean, it's people seem to be following protocol, but everything seems to be open. We're not necessarily seeing, you know, large mass groups of people, but we are seeing more and more places open, more and more people getting out and doing things, and you know, people wearing masks, but people sort of following the protocol, and you know, as a result, no real major shutdowns of any place in my area, in this part of the state, in the southern part of the state. So it's, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the trend.
Well, here we're shutting everything down, and people are suing the governor because he can't point to one study that says the places he's shutting down are the places where it's spreading. He's just shooting from the hip.
And yeah, that's crazy. It's ridiculous. I think a lot of the states up north that had thought they had it figured out are realizing that they weren't as immune, and that there, you know, there are ways of getting it in, depending whether it be people coming from other parts of the country or what. But I think here, at least, where it's not as much government controlled, it's more controlled by the entity. The grocery store or the shopping center or the gym or whatever, they have their own mandates, and people tend to just follow what they're supposed to do. They don't want the gym closing, so they, you know, they'll wear the mask, and I'm just not finding a whole lot of even discussion locally, if you will. No discussion on the local news. People are just doing what they're supposed to be doing and happy that things are remaining open, so that they want to keep it that way.
It's amazing what people will do to get a little bit of the apple, eh? I mean, I can't believe what kind of sheep, why we let here. We're okay. Chicago went through a problem because obviously people come from all around the world to Chicago. So there was a big run through in March, April, and May, and now all of a sudden there's a problem in Centralia. Why did anybody think there was never not going to be a problem in Centralia? I mean, this thing it's more contagious than a cold, for God's sake. Why did anybody think it was going to go away, or did Dr. Fauci, like, destroyed it? I mean, what are these people thinking? I mean, was it not going to get to Rapid City, South Dakota?
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah. And again, I think some of this is, you know, fortunately we're in a field that where we can do most of our work virtually, and we can do our research, certainly, and you know, I'm looking forward to the time where we won't be doing Zoom meetings. I'm looking forward to actually being able to have the face-to-face with management and clients again in the near future, but we at least have a temporary holdover way of conducting our business, and fortunately are able to, you know, things are able to move on, and I think we just have to, you know, a lot of times I have to remind myself when I'm outside of the work environment that a lot of people are still struggling with just trying to get their work done and get from place to place. So,
well, here you would, the safest place is downtown. There's nobody here.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, there's nobody in our building. I mean, there's four people at our office, or five. I mean, there's way more people walking down my block with their dogs. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, there's no mindset to it at all. I mean, there really isn't.
Yeah, that's to me, that's amazing, just because I'm seeing a lot more activity. You know, certainly not as much, but this time of year in Florida is generally slow. It's sort of it's preseason, and you know, there are some people talking about what a thing is going to be like in the next few months. But for now, things here, we're not experiencing that. We're experiencing a lot of activity, and but just enough to not make things too crowded, and not to have too much traffic.
Well, I don't want to work.
I think it's just, you know, you want to have a model that the rest of the country can follow. I think the model that we see here is pretty good.
Well, we have, these people have made me even more of a conspiracy theorist than maybe I should have been. But Dan, I got issues with a governor telling you that you can't have people go visit anybody in a nursing home when his family owns a bunch of nursing homes. I just have a problem with that. And when he closes
down. I think that's when it gets confusing, and that's when I refer to as the noise, when you start hearing a lot of confusing things that are not adding up and not making sense, when policies are being issued that aren't consistent. And at these times, being a money manager, that we really have to kind of feel like we're going through a tunnel, and the noise is all around us, but we just have to keep charging through that tunnel, because our job is to find those best investments that are going to be there at the end of the tunnel, and the ones that aren't going to be, I don't know what the word is, delayed or destroyed or well, set back by the noise and the craziness that's going on with a lot of this inconsistency.
Well, I'm always impressed by how much you're willing to dig for the next essentially oyster, and so am I. I mean, I look at how many option stocks a day looking for any kind of a volatility where somebody's buying one month might be a little more expensive the next month, and I try and, you know, do something in there that admits my expertise, and I look around and I say, you know, all I had to do is follow. It's obvious to me, but let's put it this way. It's obvious to the third grade side of me, which is probably still there. This son of a whatever has got stock in Amazon, Target, and Walmart. He's essentially put everybody else out of business, or at Home Depot and Menards. He's put everybody else out of business to favor those five places. And I look at guys like me and guys like you trying to make sense of it all, and clearly I should have just bought whatever the governor seems to have. I mean, literally, you could drive by Dan Janitas' blue jeans store, which was closed for 6 months, and go buy your blue jeans at Target. But I've never seen anything like it. I mean, obviously you have better things to talk about, but, I mean, I would have just said, why don't I just buy those places and buy Zoom, even though it's 100 times earnings, or Snapchat, even though it's a horrendous buy, I just got to pile in because somehow or another, these places are the favorite sons, and I just can't do that, Janet, and I understand you can't either, and it's
no exactly, and I think part of it too. It's I don't know if anybody else is feeling this way, but I am feeling zoomed out.
Oh God, yeah.
So there's a certain point that I think people are going to want to get back to, and I already have getting back to meeting face to face. You know, I've been doing a virtual conference this week, but getting back to face to face meetings, whether it be with business people or with friends or. I think that is something that we, as humans, that we all need. And so I think the Zoom thing may be a good carryover, but I'm not sure it's going to be the way of the future. I think too many people are going to say, hey, I miss, you know, being able to walk down the hall and have a chat with somebody about the markets or get another point of view or having lunch with someone. I think that social interaction is really important, especially in our field where we want to be exchanging ideas. Face to face, we want to see people's reactions to our ideas, and it's true in pretty much every field. You know, just going back to what I was saying earlier, this environment, as my mentor, who I thought was fantastic in this business, going back to the '80s, told me, some days you got to play golf, and I think that still holds true. And I still hear that voice on days where it doesn't make sense, when things don't make sense, and I don't want to be trading just because I have cash. Some days you need to just take a step back when things don't seem right. And then the other thing is, when you are making your investment decisions, there's three important parts of the decision. The fundamental part, which is what we do, fundamental analysis, you're looking at the financials, you're looking at the industry, you're looking at competition, you're looking at strategic vision, you're looking at management, all those good things, the fundamentals. Then you're looking at valuation, and it's valuation generally relative to other investments, but valuation using various metrics for valuation to decide whether it's rich or cheap or it's, you know, this is a good opportunity to buy. And there's a third piece that I think a lot of investors miss out of, and it's something that I tell my analysts that is very, very important, and it's the trading aspect. And for some people, that trading aspect are the technicals. You know, where has this stock traded? Where is it trading now? Some of it, frankly, is a gut feeling. Some stocks just are not loved. No matter how good the fundamentals are and no matter how cheap they look, they just don't have the investor audience or the investor spotlight. And it doesn't mean that they're going to someday be the winners. They may be overlooked for a long, long time. So understanding the trading dynamics, understanding whether it's the right time to step in or not, not based on valuation and not based on fundamentals, just based on the flow of funds.
Knowing when something is either going to be in favor or out of favor, which is like a variable that is the one you're really talking about. It's like eBay was going to be the take over the world, and all of a sudden it's just another retailer. I mean, to be able to pick when that all happens, or when Zoom becomes everything everybody needs versus just a regular stock. Isn't that why we're in here? Isn't that the beauty of it? We're trying to figure that out.
It is. Yeah, it absolutely. And that's why that's what we're paid for.
Yeah.
Is to be able to be in there day in and day out and understanding and watching this, and not only watching it through technicals, but watching it through gut feeling and gut reactions to how things trade when there's, you know, when there's fear in the market, when there's fear in that sector, you know, are these names going to just kind of keep going through, or are they, you know, they've gotten left behind despite good fundamentals or despite good valuations?
Well, every person in smart money, smart options, you name it, on CNBC, they wouldn't want me to replay it, but every person on the 31st of last year said that sneakily this was the year for to be back in energy and oil. Boy, oh boy, what a clunker that is, huh?
Yeah, but again, this, you know, we made some money in a few of the names,
right.
And some of the bonds, so
yes,
yeah, again, being selective. This year, I will say, is a year of being in the right names.
But you are you dig out the pearl, but just to be in the XLE thinking this is the year for oil. Anyway, Dan, thank you very much. Talk to you hopefully before next week. S&P Futures unchanged.
All
wow.
Right.
We'll be right back, Mr. Frank Fahey.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks and jocks. Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here.
Hello, everybody. Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. She's AV on the board. S&P Futures now up 5. NASDAQ Futures up 56. Come back to the north side here a little bit because we've had the jobless claims were 750 versus 781, so a little better than expected. We have the GDP booms at 31.1% rate, better than the 32% expected. So let's see, we're down 34. So if you start out at 100, and you're down 34, it puts you down to like 67. And if you come up 33, you back up to like 90. I'm thinking. So maybe not even quite 90, so you're still down like 10 or 11 if my math is correct. So careful, it's not back to break even by any stretch. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 35.3%, FTSE down 16.3%, CAC around down 38.8%, so down but not horrible. Nikkei down 86.3%, Shanghai up 3.1%, Hang Seng down 122.5%. Again, review of yesterday's carnage. Dow down 943, 3.4%. S&P down 119, 3.5%. Remarkably consistent. NASDAQ down 427, 3.7%. Bonds, 0.77, kind of right where they've been. Bund minus 0.63. Japan positive 0.03. So none change there. Oil, whack, down 5% now. $1.90, $35.49. Brent down $1.92, $37.20. Natural gas down 7 cents. Still way above $3, $3.21. RBOB 104, it's down 3 cents. And we've got gold down $14, $14.65. Silver down 60 cents, $22.75. Copper down a penny. We're selling everything. We're even selling AV's yoga mat. It's for sale. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports?
For weather, we have cloudy day with gusty winds, which are in action today. Might cause minor lakeshore flooding along the Lake Michigan. The highest of the day should be 49 and the lowest 33. 84 in Phoenix, good deal of sunshine, clear skies throughout the day. 87 is the highest and the lowest 58. Kennedy outbound past Harlem having a crash that blocks the left lane. Chicago traffic heading towards O'Hare starts to pick up at Foster. And Adams West is experiencing delays from I-55 up to Roosevelt Road. That's what I got for weather traffic for now.
Where's your sports?
It was a blue moon.
The blue moon, yes. That's on Saturday. Frank, you with us, bud?
Yeah, I don't think there was any sports yesterday.
No.
I looked.
No, it was other than Wisconsin.
There was some soccer in Europe.
It's always soccer in Europe. That's what they do over there. I bet there was
soccer. They also do track in Norway.
I bet there was soccer in Ukraine as well.
There's soccer everywhere. Ukraine is part of Europe.
Yes. Just saying. All right, Frank, we had a huge sell-off yesterday. Then
I know there was boxing in Ukraine.
So you guys, soccer and boxing. That's quite a...
Soccer and boxing, yeah. That's like the most.
Oh, God. When you guys get like some stuff like baseball or something?
What is it? Is it a thing?
Just saying.
It's only like in Canada and U.S.
Yes. Well, what do you mean? Korea, Japan? They love baseball. Just saying. Well, Frank, we're bouncing back here a little bit on the this GDP number that I just so you know, when you look at GDPs, when people estimate this stuff, there's a little known estimating factor that goes into these numbers, and what it has to do with there's a group in Washington somewhere buried in the bowels, but probably working home now, that estimates when things are going good. All right, there's people that if Frank and AV decide to get in the housing business and build four houses, and because the market's so good, they run out and start building places, or we have another plumbing company get an extra truck, and you hire people and they're contract employees. The government really doesn't find out about it till the end of the year. Is maybe they're paying estimates, you might do it a little sooner, but by and large, you really don't know. The people that are just being hired this week and next week, they aren't quote employees. Maybe it has to do a lot for people who work in some restaurants or for banquet people or for those kinds of people. They might not be employees. You get this. So when the economy is growing, a lot of that's happening. So in my opinion, it always has been my opinion, not that it makes it right, that when the economy is going good, it's actually going better than it looks like it's going, Frank. The flip side is as well. And right now, you're not going to catch the amount of people that were told to stay home tonight from bars and restaurants and all those kinds of things. You're not going to catch them in any sort of a... I don't know that they can apply for unemployment if it's only supposed to last 2 weeks or 3 weeks or four.
You aren't going to catch the framing carpenters either. No, there's lots of people you aren't going to catch.
You're not going to catch any of those people. So when things are basically in the crapo, I think they're way more in the crapo than we think they are. And which is the mirror image of the other side. So I think that we're missing a lot of people that are kind of in trouble today, and we're not going to pick them up on the unemployment numbers. Plus, we have people that are coming off the rolls after 6 months that don't have a job, right, Frank? So now they go from being unemployed into the column where we don't know what they're doing. So there's a lot of moving parts to these numbers. So you sort of have to be careful when you see people quoting them without giving you the full definition, shall we say, Frank, the full story. Because if you give the full story,
it's amazing how they lie with numbers. And every administration, Democrat or Republican, changes how they calculate those numbers.
Oh, sure. Well, the unemployment's still roughly the same. It was my first class ever in economics at Notre Dame. The guy said the worst number you'll ever see is the unemployment number. It's pretty much useless. Okay. And we're still here. It is 50 years later, and we're still using it, right?
Yep. And, you know, you're talking about how we have a nice little rally here. We're back up to 32.71, let's say. We were as high as 33.11 last night, a full percentage point higher.
Yeah.
And right now, there was a number I've heard bandied about for the past 2 weeks, 32.70, sometimes 32.60, as being a massive support number. And it's amazing how we closed there. You know.
Well, did somebody say it was a massive support number before or after we closed there?
Oh, before. Well before. I've seen it. I have some people I watch who are, chartists. And, you know my attitude about charts is every boat that sank had charts.
But they all had them.
At times, they're remarkably accurate on predicting human behavior. It may just hesitate there, but it behaves like there's something going on.
Why is 3270 a number? I'm not a chartist, but the bottom,
I don't know why it's the number it is. Let other people tell me where support is.
But it looks
to
me like
when I was trading the grains, these people were right about support and resistance all the time. Now, is it a real number, or is it put out so much that people behave as if it is a real number?
Well, it looks to me that the low, well,
there was a low a while back in the summer, right?
924. The low was 31.98, but that day it closed at 32.68. So, essentially, firmed up. At the bottom was at 31.90 that day. And it closed at 32.68. There's your 32.68 number.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And then the next numbers I keep on hearing are like 31.50 to 31.60, and then 29.25. We'll see.
Well, the bottom
right now, and 29.25 is like their penultimate support. So I have no idea.
The bottom,
real versus imagined. It's your call.
But
it's like one of those things I pay attention to just because other people believe it.
Well, the bottom on 6:15 was 29.50 roughly. So there's where your 29.50 is coming from.
Yep.
But the bottom, well, let's hope it's the bottom.
Yeah, the bottom.
Bottom, or at least we hope it's the bottom, was 21.76 on March 23rd. That's still a ways. That's another 30%.
Well, I know. It's a long ways.
Well, some of these stocks, I would say 30% for some stocks, I think, is, I can't imagine that happening. But 30% from some of these high flyers and the ones
you
that
mean like a Tesla? Yeah, you and I were talking.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I looked and I said, wait a minute, when did Chipotle get to be 1500? The last time I checked it was 350.
If that stock was 1100, you wouldn't even bat an eyelash, Frank. I don't think.
Right.
I mean, we're starting
to. Not at all.
But it's a lot of burritos, just saying.
Not particularly good ones.
No.
I mean, in parts of the country it could be okay, but I mean, gosh, we have choices from every state in Mexico. I mean, the Mexican food here, the fast food, the casual food, is just superb.
Yeah, I don't, I'm going to look here at the Tesla. No, they had their earnings already out. Correct, they already had earnings, so.
Yes.
I'm going to say
still. And they had the split.
Yeah, they had the split. So what I'm going to do is,
And probably 100 points of that was the result of misapplications of the split and covering.
Well, the shorts. The 280, the stock is 407. The 280 yep. puts are in December are like 350. Wow. Wow.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah, people are there's serious nervousness. I mean, these it's not just the VIX that people look at. If you look at your implied volatility, I very seldom say much dogma from the microphone, but one of them is, as an option trader, you must look at the if you're going to be trading options, you must, and you care about what you're buying, you must look at the implied volatility of whatever it is you're buying or selling. Don't just look at the VIX. Hey, the VIX is 30.
No, it has nothing to do with it. No. I mean, because we care about an individual strategy and an individual stock, which is movement in price, movement in time, and movement in implied volatility. You need to know all those things and how it will behave, given volatility going up or down. And volatility is... Until you learn that, you really don't learn options.
No. And a lot of people, you know, with Dr. J on TV all the time, and of course he's a buddy of mine, and somebody will say, well, hey, Jan says, hey, Jan said they're buying the, whatever, the 40s in XYZ. He owns the 40s. I said, if Jan decided to get bullish, Jan did just what I would have done. He would look at all of the stuff, and he'd buy the cheapest one. I mean, he wouldn't have bought the 40s? No, he might have bought something else and sold some guy to 40s. I mean,
Right. So, it's relative implied volatility,
right,
which is the relationships called skew, which is just yet another step along the way. And that's why you folks call Tom when you have a question or want to play the options.
I tell you, I'm still somewhat stunned, Frank, about why these volatilities... We're starting to get a little bit of a drop now in the last week, where the ones at the end of December now are cheaper than next week. For a while, they were stone cold even. But now you can actually buy a December call or put and sell next Friday and get a little bit of volatility your way. But, I mean, you should be. I mean, I hope we're still not fighting the election in December, for God's sake. You would think it'd come down some. You know, I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. I hope we're not doing it. They're down a lot because they were equal to or higher.
Yeah.
And on the individual equities, we've already gone through earnings.
We had a whole bunch of them last
volatility
night.
Volatility on a lot of those. I mean, the spider was higher. And it's like,
well, we got the big guys tonight, right? We got the Googles and the stuff tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We got some big earnings tonight, I believe. So that should show something. Ones yesterday, there was a million of them, but I went through all of them. I didn't find squat, but we had all kinds of crap yesterday. We had, Ford. Well, Ford actually is up today. It's up 35 cents, back up to $8. But there was Visa last night. There's all kinds of stuff, either last night or this morning. And today will be another, today a lot of big companies. So, but it is stunning how people try and control even the little bit of the news, Frank. I mean, everybody will say the earnings this year have been spectacular. 85% have beat expectations. Yet they're 20% lower than last year. So how good can they be?
And stocks are trading times total sales, not times just earnings.
Right.
I mean, it's like stuff that we would have forced into bankruptcy 30 years ago. I mean, it's amazing. You know, we don't want to miss the next big move, so it moves early.
What I was mentioning yesterday that the Federal Reserve just nudged their balance sheet back to another record. What do you think happens after the election with some kind of a stimulus package? Are they going to leave? They closed places in May and March and April and couldn't wait to throw money at people because they know they're all going to go broke. Now it's 9 months later. Nobody seems to care. I mean,
Well, it doesn't matter. You can't get anything passed by the Senate right now, and that's the major roadblock. So if we end up with a Democratic minority, there's no reason for a Republican Senate to pass anything because they want to blame the deficit on the Democrats. You know, they really don't care. It's all about, as they say, optics.
Well, Frank,
and
I'm going to say...
Trump's certainly not going to do anything if he loses. I mean, it's... And of course, if the Democrats control everything, we're going to see a stimulus. And that $500, $600 is going to be worth less than $300 was 6 months ago.
Well, that's true.
That's hyperbole, but.
Forget your political leanings, for a second, if you can, which I don't know if you can, but try.
Oh, I'm sure I can.
If you were sitting in Washington and you were just I'm a middle guy like me, where I can see clearly now because I'm in the middle. It's very lonely, but I can see clearly. Why the hell would you ever bail out Jay Pritzker and his state when we look at the way the place is run?
It's run better than a lot of other states.
Where,
why
name
would
one.
Bail out any state?
Name
a well-run state.
Nobody has the pension issues we do.
It's been mentioned New Jersey does, but that's
all right, so,
pretty close to nowhere.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I mean, why would we continue to send somebody money who has to send people, money to people that are sitting at the home not working or age 58, a lot of them? I mean, when other people can't pay for it.
And you can't blame, that's on both parties. I mean, two-thirds of our, you know, over the past 40 years, haven't we had more time as Republican governor than Democrat governor?
If we have a guy dumb enough to favor Amazon over the bricks and mortar place, shut him down, not collect his property taxes, and expect me from North Dakota, Ohio, or someplace to somehow make up for that, why would I ever want to do that? Why should it be an open check?
Which guy are you talking about?
I'm saying, why would anybody from another state want to pour federal money into Illinois?
Okay, let's just cut off the farm subsidies. I mean, it's a game you can play. It's an ugly game once it starts.
Well, what I'm saying right now, the state is writing checks that they know they can't cash. They're just assuming.
Every state is.
Okay, but they're assuming they're going to get the money from the federal government. Why? Do they think there's no limit? They think the pressure that if Biden gets in, he'll just write him a check? And where's this money going to come from, Frank?
Talk about that on the federal level or the level of every single state.
Not every single.
Who has a balanced budget right now? Maybe Alaska.
Indiana?
They might not write the check.
A lot of places do.
Indiana, that was, you know, an 1860 kind
of thing. Well, let's put it this way. There were a lot of places that at least had it together up until the start of this year. And there's
we're talking about the delta between the beginning of this year and the end of this year.
All right, I'm not that I would cover for everybody.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I ask be covered.
Yeah, well, that's not what we're asking here. We're asking all the other stuff too.
Well, I'm not.
Yeah, okay.
So you and I are asking for two different things.
No, but I'm saying the state is asking for that.
That puts me on the right then. Of your middle.
Well, but what I guess the point being is if we have a stimulus package, let's say the Democrats get in. Stimulus package pops up between now and the end of the year. I don't know if they get Trump to sign it or they don't. Now we're talking 4 years worth of income tax revenue pissed away this year. Spent this year. That'll be nice.
Yep.
All right, so now where are we going to get this back? We're talking about people that are broke and yet everybody's going to raise taxes on who? Even your 50th Ward Alderwoman, what's her name, Salverstein, said to Lori, people are out of work. How are you going to raise their taxes? Lori's bound and determined to raise property taxes, to raise red light camera fees, and to lay people off. What planet is she on? I don't see...
She does disagree with the closing down of restaurants.
She said that, and then a minute later she stopped fighting.
Well, she rolled.
She's not like the mayor of Orland, or the guy who's suing him saying, I want the piece of paper that shows me where the study is, that's where people are getting it. You don't have, because you have nothing to back up what you're doing. And he doesn't. Does he?
Well, so are we going to demand that every political statement be accompanied by a piece of paper?
Let's put it this way. Before you shut my place down, I mean, the lady last week, young lady.
This is micromanaging here. No offense, Tom, if you pick just that issue. But I'm talking issues across the board. I'd like to see a standard.
The entire favoritism part where the lady says, you shut down my restaurant, and I look across the street, and they're butthole to elbow in Walmart. I want to know.
Oh,
why.
I agree. There's a problem there. We don't disagree on that.
Does Jay have? I just why do I feel this way? I mean, I'm getting older and crumpier, but I don't want a guy shutting down hotels whose family owns hotels and is liable to grab one of them with 10 cents on the buck. I don't want a guy telling me that I can't go to see my mother in a nursing home when his family owns nursing homes. I've had family members in nursing homes, and I know that if I didn't show up, their care wasn't as good. I'm not that stupid, Frank. I hope I'm not. And everybody who's ever had...
No, you're absolutely right there.
Now, you're telling me that nobody gets to go see their loved one ever, even though they're paying $8,000 a month? And so if somebody has a black eye or fell, they can't see him? You can't tell me the nursing homes don't want visitors. They'd rather have none. Because who knows what they're doing? Or is that just me being too suspicious?
Yeah, well, then do you put in requirements where nursing homes have to give you a picture camera some way? You know,
I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But are we going to be having the people who want to?
The present changed. So at a certain point, we have to react. That's what the future is how we react to the present.
Okay,
the problems.
Who makes the call? Let's assume. With some combination, I'll say the next year now. I'm not going to be like next week like Trump. The next year, somehow or another, there's some smattering of vaccines. We get to the point where so many people have had it, there's a little bit of herd immunity. Whatever it is, it's not as big of a problem as next year. Who makes the call that people go back to the nursing homes? The nursing home? Jay? Common sense? Who makes these calls? I'm not happy with who's making them now. Or does every
probably, and we go back to the very beginning of this. We're talking right now as you're complaining about the results of a total lack of leadership, a coherent leadership, and that comes. We are, a heterogeneous culture, and so somebody should have been managing the whole damn thing, business.
Well, but we have this is our
thing, and that didn't happen. And this is what happens: we end up with a piecemeal approach.
I don't think we can.
It's always a horse.
I don't think that our group can handle what you're talking about. What I'm saying is, right now the law is that everybody in Will County, DuPage County, everybody who's got the job, how you even get it, of being the doctor in charge of Will County or whatever the hell it is, public health. God knows if they even would get a job as a real doctor. Every one of those people is a god. Them and who's ever the chairman of the county. The Tony Preckwinkle, the Dan...
Change the laws.
Well, okay, but
that's what we're learning there.
Yeah, but how are you going to do that? It's never going to happen, Frank. The idea
because we have one group that does not believe in science. And this is what we're talking about.
There is no
leadership.
There is no science anywhere along the line.
On a national level, and that filters down.
I will tell you, Frank, whatever opinion you have on any part of this COVID, I will find you science that supports and negates your view.
Yeah, but there's consensus.
On what?
On many things in science.
Name one. Other than the fact that gravity goes down and bonks you on the head like Isaac Newton's apple, there's very...
Well, water is, a hydrogen and two oxygen atoms.
Okay.
I mean, that's a consensus. Right, it's an immutable fact.
Well,
right
we're not getting too far. All right. So now we're up 6 points. We're not going
to. It's always fun talking to you, Tom.
Hey, but now are we buying here or selling? Up 6 points.
Why do we have to do anything before the election? What we're doing here is we're trading, and the time limit of any trade is going to be much shorter than it would be in normal times. This volatility is absurd. We've gone up 1.4% today, and we've gone down below zero, and now we're starting to go back up. So, no.
What does it say?
I mean, you watch.
What does it say to you if we...
might have been a two-day trade or a one-week trade. Might be a two-hour trade right now.
If we can't hold...
With defined risk and gain.
If we can't hold gains today, is that bad?
Yes.
I would agree. S&P futures up 775. NASDAQ futures up 65. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.